It's Divas That Care Radio. Stories, strategies, and ideas to inspire positive change. Welcome to Divas That Care, a network of women committed to making our world a better place for everyone. This is a global movement for women, by women, engaged in a collaborative effort to create a better world for future generations. To find out more about the movement, visit divasthatcare.com after the show. Right now, though, stay tuned for another jolt of inspiration.
Hello to all. Welcome to Divas That Care Network. I am Joyce Benning, and I will be your host for this absolutely magical, robust lifestyle show. I would like to thank each one of our listeners that are listening on the numerous different podcast platforms, as I am just so very grateful and thankful for each and every one of you. And you are all in for one magical show today, as I have with me an amazing new diva, Anne Dunnett. And her and I are going to chat about seasonal living. Oh my, are you in for a very special show? So with that, Anne, would you please introduce yourself to our listeners today?
Absolutely. First, I just want to thank you for having me on your show. I'm very excited to be here. So yes, my name is Anne Dunnett. I am a creative entrepreneur. I'm a writer. I'm a designer, graphic designer, and a haiku poet. And we're going to be talking a lot about seasonal living and haiku poetry today. And I'll just start with, I'll try to make it short, a short version of how my journey and how I've got to doing what I'm doing. So I was first introduced to haiku poetry when I was 10. And I think we had a conversation a little bit earlier about haiku poetry, and I just assume that everybody knows a little bit about it, but I'm learning that a lot of people actually still with like, what's haiku? What is that? Mm-hmm. And haiku poetry is a Japanese form of poetry. It originated in Japan centuries ago. And a lot of kids in elementary school had an English language school assignment, maybe around the age 10, grade 5, grade 6. And I had that. And my grandmother wrote haiku poetry. So I thought that it would be a smart thing to go to her and get a little bit of help with my homework assignment. So that was the first time that I was really engaged with haiku, and it was a really nice connection with my grandmother. And then after that, I never thought about haiku again. I didn't grow up. I wasn't dreaming about becoming a haiku poet as I was growing up. And I wanted to do something creative. I wanted to be an artist. So I ended up going to art school, and I became a graphic designer and graduated from art school in my early 20s and got out into the big wide world of the commercial design, graphic design. And I was finding that I wasn't really very inspired by it. It was very, well, it's commercial. And I wanted to do something more purposeful and meaningful. And I was feeling a little down and a little depressed. And I decided to enter craft fair to get a little bit more creativity in my life. That was a little bit more of that meaningful part. And I asked my grandmother if I could use some of her haiku. And I started creating little art cards and little art pieces with her poetry. And that was another little step into the direction of where I was going. And then when I was in my late 20s, I had an astrology reading with this astrologer, and it was really quite profound. She talked about this deep connection that I had with my grandmother. And then she says, you should be writing poetry. And then she got really specific, and she said, you should be writing haiku poetry. And I just looked at her and I was like, my grandmother writes haiku poetry. So it was a moment in my life that has always stayed with me. And I explored a little bit of haiku after that, and I bought some haiku books, and then they went on the shelf, and they stayed there for 12 years. I didn't do anything with that. I continued freelancing as a designer and I started doing more art. I was doing some collage art and I was getting interested in Zen philosophies and Japanese culture. And then I bought this really interesting book on Japanese culture, and it had a section of haiku poetry. And it just sparked something inside of me. And I kept thinking about this astrology reading, and it just opened me up to start exploring that. And I started to write. And I was going with what I learned in elementary school. And then I ended up connecting with the Vancouver Haiku Group. I'm in Canada. I'm living on Vancouver Island. I was living in Vancouver at the time. And I started going to these meetings and I learned a lot about what haiku is. And a lot of people learned back in elementary school that it's a 5-7-5 syllable count, which I'll try to explain. So haiku is three lines and it's really short. It's the shortest form of poetry. So the first line is five, you count five syllables to fit it into a specific format. And then the middle line would be a seven syllable count. And then the last line would be a five syllable count. So the total syllables in a haiku is 17 syllables. And a lot of people learned this way. And then when I went to the Vancouver Haiku Group, they were like, no. It's not about counting syllables. It's not about trying to fit it into this specific format. And I was like, really? So this is when I had to change my thinking on what I thought that haiku is. And you can write haiku in this format. This is where it gets a little bit confusing, because in Japan, in the Japanese language, they actually count sounds. So they call it an on. So they would fit it into this format and they would count sounds. And then when haiku gets translated from Japanese into English, it gets longer. So English language haiku poetry has been recommended to not to count the syllables because it's too long. So they suggested to just keep it short, keep it brief, and less is more thinking. And that's my little haiku lesson with that. And so I started learning more about haiku, and it's a mindset. It's a way of thinking that haiku is about connecting with nature. It's written in the present tense. It's about being in the moment. It's about the senses and it's about the seasons, which is a big part of it. And then I started doing craft fairs again and selling little art pieces and freelancing as a designer, which I'm still juggle two balls a little bit with all of this. And then I got really interested more around the philosophy of what haiku is and started putting on workshops. And then I got more interested in seasonal living and the seasonal connections around the Japanese culture and how they celebrate the seasons. And the seasons are a really big part of how they live. And my passion and purpose is to share the philosophy of haiku as a way of living in harmony with the seasons. That was a very long-winded way of answering that question.
No, it was beautiful because it gave our listeners a little bit of explanation of what haiku poetry is, because they may go, what is it? Kind of like I did when you and I chatted the first time. I'm going, no, I'm not familiar with that. So no, that was absolutely perfect. And I love how when you had that astrology reading, the astrologist told you the deep connection with your grandma. And I love how it always seemed grandma and the haiku poetry kept coming back into your life. It was like the universe was trying to tell you, this is where you need to be. And I love how it just little whispers were kept telling you, and little things kept coming back in. I caught that as I was listening to you, and that is so beautiful and so true.
Oh, absolutely. She died years ago. But I have her ring. I know viewers can't see it, but you can see it. It's whoopsies. It's an
Beautiful.
amethyst. So she left that for me. So I wear this ring every single day. So, I carry her with me.
Yes, you do. You totally do. Well, and I love how it's a mindset and connecting with nature. And oh my goodness, that just touches my heart completely, because that's what I love to do, is to connect with nature and the animals. And my animals always tell me, live in the present moment. And that's exactly what you're saying of this and about the seasons. And oh, I love the seasons. They are just beautiful. So I am so excited to hear more about how it ties into the seasonal living.
Well, seasonal, I'm gonna put a question back in your court. When you think of seasonal living, what comes to mind?
I think of the way the nature changes outside is the first thought that comes to my mind, because I'm very connected to the nature and the animals, and how the animals, when it starts to get cooler in the fall, the animals start to put on their fur coats for the winter, and in the spring they start to shed it, and the trees with the beautiful colored leaves, and just the way the ground looks. And right now we're starting to get green, and little dandelions that I think are beautiful are coming up all over these little yellow flowers. And so, yeah, when I think of seasonal living, I think of the outdoors and the animals and relate to that. That's my first thought.
Interesting, and that is definitely what seasonal living is. But I'm taking it to a deeper level of your internal seasons. So when we look at the outer world and nature, with everything that you were just saying, we can take that and start to reflect that with the way that we live. So in the spring, the spring is about rebirth, new beginnings, and planting seeds. And the seasons are also connected to the moon cycles and the moon phases that happen every month. So the spring season is connected to the waxing moon. And the waxing moon is when the moon is rising. It's moving up towards the full moon. So spring represents that youthfulness. It's also childhood dreams, youthfulness. So if we can take some of these ways of looking at nature and how nature comes alive in the spring, and start to find ways that we can come alive and have that burst of energy and that renewal, and look at things that we want to plant in ourselves and grow and bloom and blossom and expand. So the spring season is all about that. And then when we move into the summer season, it's about abundance. And summer is the fun season. And it's joy. It's joyful. And we have more, not everybody, but typically the summer is about energy. It's vibrant. It's pulsating with life. So again, by reflecting on nature and all of these things that the summer is about, and we can bring that back into our lives and tap into those energies, then we're living a little bit more in harmony with the seasons. And then when we go into the fall season, that's about letting go. That's when everything in nature dies, and it's a little bit of having that mini, I'm not talking about a physical morbid death, but letting go of parts of yourself that you don't need anymore, that you want to change. And it's transformation. Spring and fall are the transformational months. And then when we break that down into the moon cycles again, so the full moon is the summer season. The The fall season is connected to the waning moon. And then when we go into winter, winter is the new moon. And the winter season is also rest and reflection and hibernation. If we were really connected to nature, we would go into that stillness and we wouldn't be as social. Like Christmas is a bit of a funky time because that's when everybody's going to Christmas parties and it's very social. But in December, it's really that time when we would be going into rest, reflection, quiet. You know, when it snows, it's so quiet and it's so beautiful. And you go into a stillness. And then if you were really connected to that energy and had that restoration, by the time spring comes around again, you burst into that, you know, new beginning again. So it's a cycle. And then those cycles go throughout the month with each week. So based on the moon cycles again. So every week you can experience the four seasons within a month. And then you can break that down to a 24-hour period as well. So the morning is spring, afternoon, midday would be summer, and then into the evening is the fall season. And then at night, when you're sleeping, that's winter. And then you can even break it down to the breath. So the in-breath is spring. So you take a deep breath in, and then a little pause at the top is, you know, the fullness of summer. Mm-hmm. And then the exhale is the letting go of fall. And then the stillness at the end of that release.
Oh, that is just amazing because it is so true. I mean, it just all comes into play how you broke down the 24 hours and your breath. I had never thought of it like that, but it is just exactly what it is. Because mm-hmm. you're taking in new breath, new life in the spring. Mm-hmm. And spring to me has always been new birth, new beginnings because of the trees. And
exactly.
A lot of baby animals are born in the spring. Mm-hmm. And it's just a refreshing new beginning of everything. And how yeah. that relates. Oh my goodness, that is just beautiful. I love all of that.
And if we want to tie the haiku in, and I'll explain a little bit of the seasonal connection uh-huh. with haiku poetry, is that in, and this is really going back to Japanese, you know, tradition of how they write haiku poetry. There's a lot of haiku poets out there that follow a 575 syllable count, and there's nothing wrong with that. And there's a lot of haiku poets that don't include a seasonal element to it either, or nature. But I just feel so passionate about the seasons and these cycles and these rhythms. And I feel that people would benefit so much from having this awareness and having this knowledge and having these insights into looking at life in a new way and getting away from kind of the craziness that's going on out there in the world. We connect with nature. It's so grounding, and it's so we can connect and heal. It's so healing. So with the seasonal connection to haiku is they have what they call as a kigo, which is a seasonal word. So there's, I think there's 6,000, I don't know the exact number, but there's thousands of seasonal words. There's a dictionary. I have reference to some of these seasonal words, but there's a lot of seasonal words that haiku poets would use to incorporate into their poetry, which is what makes it connecting to the seasons. The cherry blossoms are a really big symbol for the spring season. I don't know if you have cherry blossoms in your area.
Not very
No.
many. No. They're
Okay.
not abundant here in
Yeah,
Kansas.
there's different parts of the world. Like where I live, there's a lot of cherry blossoms. Washington has a lot of cherry blossoms, Washington, D.C. Vancouver has a lot of cherry blossoms. They have a cherry blossom festival there in the month of April. And of course, Japan has a lot. I know there's lots of other places in the world, but the cherry blossoms are a symbol of what's the word? Temporariness. Like it's a cherry blossom season is really quick. They blossom quick. They're out and then they're gone within 2 weeks. So it serves as a reminder of of being in that moment and really savoring the joy that they give because they are so beautiful. And a lot of people in Japan would go, what's it called? Hanami, which is cherry blossom viewing. They would go and just there's festivals where they would just go and observe and be connected to these beautiful trees. And another part of haiku is also being the observer. Haiku poets would go, this is centuries ago, they would gather together and then they would go individually out into nature and observe. They would tap into what they would hear, what they would see, what they would smell, maybe not so much what they would taste in nature, but even the taste in their mouth, like, breathing in the air and what does the air taste like? And it's really about being present, and that's part of the connection that haiku has with the senses. A lot of haiku will be the sound of water, the taste of chocolate, and that's another part that brings you into the moment. I have a couple of haiku if you would like me to read a couple with
Oh, that would
that.
be beautiful. Yes, I would love that. That would be
Okay.
great.
Do you want me to do that now?
That would be fine. Yeah, if you're
Okay.
ready to read a couple of them, that would be awesome.
We can definitely do that. I picked out three that I can do. So I would invite everybody just to close your eyes, because then, people are listening, so you don't really need to totally do that. But I invite you to close your eyes, and we're going to just sink into the words, because then you can actually feel the words.
Yes.
Because haiku takes you out of thinking, and it puts you more into your body, into your heart to feel. And I'm going to read the haiku twice.
Perfect.
Okay. All right. Moon water mist, becoming one in the sea of a Pisces dream. Moon water mist, becoming one in the sea of a Pisces dream. Morning star, the sound of stillness soothes my soul. Morning star, the sound of stillness soothes my soul. And the last one is a cherry blossom, spring one. Plum blossom scent, a touch of pink flutters in the wind. Plum blossom scent, a touch of pink flutters in the wind.
Oh, those were just beautiful. I could just see the cherry blossoms just kind of fluttering in the wind and the star. Oh, I love that. And the first one too with the moon. Oh, those are beautiful.
Thank you. And that's another part of haiku is that it's almost like taking a photograph. So, but it's a photograph in words, but the words take you deeper into it
Yes, they
as
do.
opposed to just looking at a photograph.
Yeah, they take you into that space, and especially it just takes you into your heart. Because you, I could almost smell the cherry blossoms and I could see the stars. And I'm like, oh, this is just beautiful. Oh, wow. And they're so short with so much meaning, such few words that mean so, they're so powerful. And that's what.
And that's what it is. I just think it's just such a beautiful form of poetry that's misunderstood.
Mm-hmm.
And when I'm able to explain it, it's a little light bulb goes off in people's minds. And it's like, oh, okay. Cause like when I explored a little bit with teaching people how to write haiku. And then I realized that it wasn't speaking to me personally, because I'm actually not an English, it's not my training. But what I was finding is that people were struggling with trying to write haiku because they didn't know, they didn't really understand it. But it's also living. It's a way of living. You need to be present, and you need to be living in with that awareness and living in a way where you are connecting to those things before you could possibly know how to write it. Like, it took me years to actually really understand how to write haiku.
Oh, I can believe it, because I would agree with you. You have to live it. You have to feel it. You have to feel it in your heart. And then I feel it's just going to flow. You'll be able to write it at that time because you're feeling it.
And there's a profound simplicity to haiku. It's so simple. That's what makes it hard.
Right.
Uh-huh. If that makes any sense.
That makes total sense. You try to overthink it and overdo it from what it really is.
And that's exactly what it is. And because we are so conditioned in society to be thinking, and that's like mindfulness, I think, is really important to be, to have that awareness.
Yes.
But then we can get into that overthinking, overanalyzing, and haiku takes you into your heart. Like you said that too. It's like it gets you out of that mindset of trying too hard or thinking too much. Or like, I know that since I've been doing this, that I don't live in the past anymore, and I don't worry about the future. I'm living a lot more in the moment. And I think that is the biggest part of the gift of what haiku is.
Oh, I would too, because the power is in the present moment. So
yeah.
Oh, that is just beautiful. Oh, and this has gone so quickly, and I knew it would. It has just flown by. It's just been a magical time. I've got so many notes. I just love it. So a couple of things before we close. I would love to ask you if you would be back on Robust Lifestyles again, because I feel we have just barely touched on the tip of the iceberg of what haiku can in poetry and in living that kind of life really do for you. So I would love to have you back on to share more with our listeners.
Absolutely. I would love to.
Oh, awesome. And then if you could please share the best ways that the listeners may connect with you.
Oh, absolutely. I do have a little YouTube channel. So you can find me on YouTube. I post once a week that is connected to my newsletter. I send a newsletter out once a week as well. And people can find me at everydayhaiku.ca. And, those are the best ways, I would say, to connect with me at this point. I do have, an everyday seasonal living circle membership, which is $37 a month, and it's all around seasonal living and that all these connections to the seasons, and people get one haiku a week to use as that anchor point for being in the moment. Plus, I talk about the moon cycle of the week, and I do a little inspirational video and some journaling and a nature activity prompt to do over the weekend. And people are really enjoying it, and it's helping them to stay grounded and to be inspired.
Oh, I believe that. Oh, and your newsletter is fabulous. So listeners, you really need to subscribe to that because she shares so much in her newsletters. Oh, and thank you so much for being my guest on Robust Lifestyle Show. And I want to wish magic in every day in your life until you and I connect again on Robust Lifestyles.
Thank you.
You are so welcome. And with that, listeners, I want to thank you for listening to this magical show with our incredible diva, Ann Dunnett. Please share this show with your family and friends. Check out all the other hosts and their shows on divasthatcare.com. And remember some of the golden nuggets about Haiku, about the spring being the new birth, the beginning, the summer, the abundance and joy and vibrant energy, and the fall of letting go, and the winter of rest and reflection and quietness. Oh, there were so many more golden nuggets to find in this beautiful, beautiful show that Anne did with us. And with that, I want to wish everyone a magical day. Give your animals a great big extra hug and share all your love with them as they so deserve it. And remember to be kind to all, including the animals. And until we connect again on Robust Lifestyles, stay strong and healthy.
Thanks for listening. This show was brought to you by Divas That Care. Connect with us on Facebook, on Instagram, and of course on divasthatcare.com, where you can subscribe to our newsletter so you don't miss a thing.